pot of gold.
Well, Mr. Croydon, it's delightful to welcome you here into our studio audience tonight. Now then, how's life?
I wouldn't know, mate.
Isn't she a panic? No. Well, Mr. Croydon, you appear to be sitting on your own.
No, it's just the way my legs are crossed.
Well, tell us a bit about yourself. Are you married?
Yeah, I've got a wife, weighs 33 and a half stone.
I see, and do you have a job?
I find it impossible.
Yes. Well, now tell me, what's that strange crumpled looking thing on your head?
That's me face.
No, further up.
Oh, that's me shoulder length platinum blonde wig.
Yes. I notice you're also wearing a slit to the thigh red satin skirt, see-through blouse and fishnet tie.
That's right, yes.
You always go around dressed like that?
Only when times are hard. Here. Would you like to hear something funny?
Don't sit on the microphone.
Oh, sorry. Here, your people, they treated me to a meal in the canteen at lunchtime.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they bought me a BBC salad and something to wash it down with.
Oh, yes, what was that?
DDT. Here, I got that one for causing a breach of the peace.
Yes, well, it certainly seems to have worked. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Croydon.
I'll tell you another thing, Mr. Frost.
Just to remind you, you're listening to The Bertie's Way, the not-to-be-believed comedy show, which continues now with an announcement which is not to be believed.
Well, we have to interrupt there, I'm afraid, because we've just received a report from the Ministry of Defense that a number of very large spherical objects appear to have been sighted over several major European cities, including Paris, Brussels, and Moscow. Although there can be no confirmation of this at present, international radar sources point to the objects having travelled from the direction of the planet Mars, and there is some indication that there may well be more of them on the way. In accordance with instructions received within the last 5 minutes from Her Majesty's government, the domestic radio and television networks, together with the commercial broadcasting stations, are to close down their transmitters in order to block all outgoing radio signals. Listeners are therefore urgently requested to switch off their radio sets, please, now. Right, if you've done that, please listen carefully. Radar intelligence information suggests that a mass assault on Earth by Martian missiles is likely to occur within the next 24 hours. The populations of all the major continents on Earth can therefore expect to be massacred at approximately 0900 hours our time. There is no cause, however, for alarm. Although the invaders are expected to blow the Earth to bits and wipe out every trace of civilization on the planet, there is no cause whatever for any of our listeners to panic. Martian Radio News at 6:30. Back to your programs.
Bouncing bombs, and that was the end of the Irish Air Force. Mind you, I was very lucky in the war myself. I managed to get 50 to 1 each way on Germany.
Lord Russian emigre, and I understand you had an exemplary record in the army. You escaped from Kolditz 13 times and were never recaptured once.
Correct, yes. Your readers may also like to know that I was the one who first put up the money for that devastating modern-day terror, what's he call now, neutron bomb?
Newton John.
Yes. That's right. Well, I was responsible for it, hence the hurried plastic surgery operation. And, of course, I also...
Your two 19th century classical poetry associates are here, Lord Russian emigre.
Oh, right. Send them in. You'll have to excuse me for a moment here, I'm afraid. Oh, come in, 19th century classical poetry associates. This is Jean Ego Trip, who works for the Daily Express in lieu of suicide. She's writing my obituary.
But you're not dead.
Shh, don't tell her. She thinks she's got a scoop. Now, pull up your trousers and sit down. Listen, I'm sorry to drag you in here, but I've had Wordsworth and Tennyson pestering me on the phone all day long for more material. How's it going?
Well, the submissions have been drying up a bit just lately, sir. So we've sent out a new circular to all the writers asking for more one-liners.
Yes, but what have you got so far?
Well, here are some of the ones we've selected already, sir. Chris Adams of Watford has sent this one in, sir. Half a league, half a league, half a league onward, all in the valley of death, wrote Nora Crint of Bingley.
Christ, Crinty.
Don't you think the tag could be made a bit stronger, sir? Say something like, wrote 600?
No. Nora Crint has caught a nice smack. If my memory serves me right. Yes, I'll shove that one through to Wordsworth for his daffodil spot. Sometimes you get a good one once it's rewritten. What was that one we had last week, boys, from Shakespeare?
Oh, yes, from Bad Toupee of Stoke-on-Quiss. Shall I compare thee to a bag of gravel?
That's it. Obviously, we had to rewrite that one.
Shall I compare Rod Stewart to a bag of gravel?
Now then, let's see here. I see Chris McGee, Chris of Reading, has sent in another lorry load of stanzas. Here now, what have we got here? Here, listen to this. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils. Beside the lake, beneath the trees, they nestle soft as babies, flattering and dancing in the breeze like Magnus Pike with rabies.
It's a bit hit and miss with him, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. Yes. Cut two lines, though. I think we may have some.
Sir, are you sure?
Sure, Smore. You look, you insisted on the Lady of Shalott snapping it in the one last week.
But that was very poetic. She floated to destiny on a stream representing the lyrical mysticism of the end of the earth.
Well, I like the original end, where she went for a pint of Winkles on the Claremont Pier Lowestoft.
That isn't lyrical.
No, but it is the end of the earth. Now, let's get on. Here's one we haven't opened. It's from the BBC Radio Presentation Department. Let's see what it is.
This is Radio 4.
Useless. Standard rejection note for that one.
Hang on, sir. Look, there's more.
Well, with the time on Radio 4 just coming up to date, we present another edition of Disgusted Orson Welles, a critical look at people who lumber up to the microphone and say...
Good evening.
We also have a report on a number of strange lights, which have just been identified as unidentified flying objects. What are they? Well, leading scientists have assured us there's no need to panic and barricade yourself in an underground shelter, because apparently it's not another awful series of Butlins commercials. So, let's speak to a man who has actually seen the lights, insurance salesman and chartered hypocrite, Mr. Arthur Adams.
Good evening.
I think we'll leave that to the experts, if you don't mind, Mr. Adams. Now, I believe you're a happily unmarried man with one wife and live in a small two-up, two-down crossword queue in Surrey.
No, that's quite untrue.
Now, Mr. Adams, as you know, we take these sightings very seriously, so would you just tell us in your own lies, please, what you saw yesterday morning?
Well, it was a sort of large cigar-shaped object up in the air, and behind it were a number of other cigar-shaped objects.
And where was this?
In the tobacconist.
Mr. Adams, get out.
Certainly.
Well, I've just been handed an urgent note from our producer, who should be ashamed of himself. So, let's go over into bed. Now to Hampstead Heath, where I'm told a strange alien vehicle has just landed. Our reporter on the scene is Will. Here I am standing.
Will, here I am standing on Hampstead Heath. Just 100 yards away from this strange spherical vehicle, believed by experts to have originated from the planet Mars. But with me on my right here to discuss the authorities' contingency plans is the Chief Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, Mr. Bill, you down there with the glasses. Where exactly does all this strategic anti-Martian offensive take place?
Right here inside this tent.
Inside this what, sorry?
Tent.
Oh, yes, yes. I wanted to ask you about that, Mr. Yu, down there with the glasses. What exactly is the reason for erecting an 80-foot-high circus tent around a potentially dangerous alien spacecraft? Mr. Yu, down there with the glasses, I put it to you that this so-called defense plan you're carrying out in front of these outside broadcast news cameras is, in fact, a cheap attempt by the BBC to make another edition of Seaside Snowtime Big Top Special.
That's so rubbish.
Well, whatever it's called. And that you... You, Mr. Yu, down there with the glasses, are not in fact a policeman at all, but the controller of BBC One Television. You are further charged that on or about the... Oh, good God, something's happening. The hatch on that spaceship's opening.
Well, just a reminder that the report you're listening to should not be taken seriously. This is purely a work of fiction, and we would not wish to cause our listeners any undue concern over these references to a Martian invasion of Earth. This is all totally made up and pretend, so there's no need to panic over it. The one to panic over is the real invasion of Earth, which, as mentioned earlier, is expected to result in a complete massacre of civilization at 0900 hours. Listeners who wish to panic over this completely bona fide invasion of Earth are advised to run about the streets shouting hysterically, looting shops, and wearing thick woolly underpants in a futile attempt to avoid obliteration. If you are unable to panic yourself because you are old, handicapped, or a cabinet minister, do not panic. Special government panic stations are being set up all over the country so that trained experts can worry themselves sick on your behalf. Panic stations are easily recognised as they sound like this.
Government panic station? What? Oh, no. Hell's tea. I want my mommy. Not at all, madam. Goodbye. Oh, dear, we've really copped it this time. What are we going to do?
Excuse me.
We're all going to be killed. Yes?
Is this the place where I come to panic?
Well, it's not Pontine's holiday camp, is it?
Oh, thank you. That answers my second question. I'd like to enlist as a government panicker, please.
I see. And what sort of experience have you had?
Experience?
Yes, experience. Here at this panic station, all the staff have to have proven track records in driving themselves putty with fear. Swimson over there has the DSO for wetting the bed over the monthly trade figures. Gradner, the man next to him, banging his head against the wall, he's developed 14 ulcers and a hernia over the prospect of a sudden blanc shortage. And, of course, Jove is attached to the Price Commission.
Which one is he?
The one changing his trousers. There, you see, competition is very fierce. Now then, what's your name?
Too Calm. Ronald Too Calm.
I see. Children?
No, thanks.
Right. Put them on again, Miss Crabtree. Let's give you a tryout now, shall we? In your own time, please. In your own time. Panic.
Right. Oh, dear. Still, worse things happen at sea.
Is that it?
Yes. Did I pass?
Well, I don't quite know how to lie about this here, but it wasn't much of a panic, was it?
I did have butterflies in my stomach.
Lunching at the British Museum restaurant has nothing to do with it. Now, try again.
Right. Oh, knickers.
Yeah, that's a bit better, but it's not exactly going to start rioting in the streets, is it? I mean, one painfully inept bleating of own knickers is hardly going to bring out the National Guard with CS gas and rubber bullets to quell the frenzied mass hysteria of uncontrolled maniacal humanity, is it? You might just as well go out and blow a twit donkey's whoopsie. Put that down!
There we are, then. Yours was JC, wasn't it, Sid?
Oh, yes, thank you, really, love.
Double scotch with ice for you, Jacko.
Oh, cheers, darling. Your good health.
Albert's was a pint of draft lager.
Oh, lovely.
And a pint of bitter for you, Zorgo on Rage XXL5.
Cheers, Rennie.
Cheers
to you.
Well, what a
about all this business of us invading Earth, Danny?
Disgusting. I think we should pull out immediately.
Hear, hear. Since my bill's been posted out there, I haven't been getting a wink of sleep at night.
You want to be careful he don't come back and catch you, girl.
Catch you.
The invasion operation was imperative. The puny earthlings must be destroyed if we are to conquer the solar system.
Yeah, here we go again, bloody right-wing cunt.
The imperial might of Mars will never be crushed.
Hey, look, who is that look? He listens a bit funny to me.
Oh, Sugar on HXXL5. He works down the fish market. He's one of these strict orthodox Martians. Still quite a few of them about. Very, very devout bug-eyed monsters they are.
We of the Red Planet are indomitable.
Send it all round, is it? JC for you, sir.
No, I'd better not. Just have a tomato juice with Worcester sauce this time, Albert.
Oh, right. Jacko, yours was the scotch.
Not for me, no. I'll tell you what. Could I have a creme de menthe instead?
A what?
A creme de menthe. With a thin slice of lemon and a cherry on a stick.
Oh, God.
You don't mind, do you?
What?
I mean, only some people are a bit embarrassed about asking.
Oh, no. Zorgron, yours was the pint of bitter.
No, better not. I'm driving. I'll have a weak ginger beer shandy.
Oh, no. I want to die. I want to crawl into a hole in the ground.
Pardon?
Nothing. Bowman?
Yes?
Oh, God. Can I have one tomato juice with Worcester sauce, a creme de menthe with a slice of lemon and a cherry on a stick, and a weak ginger beer shandy, please?
Sorry, mate, they're all off.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Albert, I'll tell you what. Make mine a sissy special lemonade with ice and a splash of pansy water.
What?
Could I have a small slice of sweetie pie? It's a new range they got in. I'm a bit peckish, see?
Sweetie pie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and look, I don't want to put you in any trouble, Albert. I'll just have a... I'll have a whoops ducky liqueur and... Hey, what was that cocktail you tried yesterday, Jacko?
A black sailor.
Oh, yeah, that's it. A black sailor for me.
I don't believe this.
Yeah, a small black sailor with a top off and a little packet of Puffo's peanuts.
Oh, God, I'm going to shoot myself.
And I'll have a pint of export.
Oh, great. Oh, thank goodness for that. A pint of export.
No, hang on. I've changed my mind. Can I have a small sweet Nancy's ruin? with a little bottle of screaming label wine
It's by a right queen.
That's the one.
Oh, no, please, no. Oh, why'd you do this to me?
Here, could I have a dash of I'm anybody's in mine as well? It's a new soda water they've got in.
Oh, yeah, while you're there, will you get me a box of those I'm as bent as a nine bob note matches?
Oh, please, no, please, no.
Are you ready yet, mate?
I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Look, Sunshine, I haven't got all the
way. Please.
Come on.
Can I have... a small sissy on the rocks with pansy water, a whoop stuffy, a large black sailor with a top off, sweetie pie, some small Puffo's nuts, a sweet Nancy's ruin, and right queen streaming raver, I'm many bodies for a glass of lemonade, and a box of those matches, I'm as bent as a nine-bob note.
Now, listen here, Mush.
Yes?
Are you trying to take the mickey out of me just because I'm gay?
Present the blood gushing all over the screen in question, written and gesticulated by Dr. Jonathan Makeshift Impersonation, the only man whose hands are too loud for the deaf. This week, Dr. Makeshift Impersonation carefully talks through a different area of the body. This week, his mouth.
Well, here I am in one of the most ancient, some might say revulsion, relics of the Middle Ages. Now, musty, mildewed, and decayed with the passage of time. In fact, it's hard to believe it was ever a jersey at all. And yet, The real protector of my organs and tissues is not my jersey, but my body. That's to say, this thing with arms and legs just visible behind my nose. Even today, few people are really aware of the body and how it functions. You, sir, any idea where your brain is?
My brain.
Your brain, yes.
My brain.
Your brain.
Oh, yes, it's up here.
Okay, no, I don't think it's up there, Constable.
Inspector.
Oh, sorry. It probably is there. Oh, hello, madam. Do you think you could show me where the mammary gland is, please?
Sure, that I could, yes. It's just down there, and it's the second on the left.
Excellent. In general, then, a certain lack of self-awareness. Why could this be? I think the best way for me to explain this, really, is to crouch about here on the seashore wearing... wearing a baggy pair of corduroy trousers whilst jerking my hands up and down like an octopus with St. Vitus dance. In fact, of course, medicine today is relatively advanced. That's to say, it's no longer a mystery how human bodies work, although in the case of stockbrokers, it is still a mystery why. Yet a few hundred years ago, medical treatment was a lot more primitive than it is today. That's to say, a few hundred years ago, medical treatment was a lot more primitive than it is today.
I do hope you can help me, Doctor. I've got this awful sort of ache in my right leg.
Well, I think we can soon put that right. Just hold still a moment, will you? Nick!
Oh, sorry to trouble you, Doctor, but I've been suffering with a bit of dandruff just lately.
Dandruff, I see. Oh. Next!
Doctor, I need your help desperately. You see, I've got 7 children, and I'm very...
Oh, sorry.
And if medical treatment was crude then, illnesses were even more so. That's to say, it wasn't until great visionaries like Sir Joseph Typhus and Dr. William Boomo came along that the development of serious disorders really began to make progress. Typhus, in 1649, was very clearly quite close to victory.
That I have now developed the nasty disease I have been searching for all these years, I am convinced. My one problem remains how best to spread it. My initial method of advertising it in a newsagent's window, plague available, easy terms, seems to have met with little success. However, I am now certain that the plague may in fact be spread by rats. All it needs is one bite to transfer it to the human body.
And so for 14 years, Typhus waited patiently for someone to go out and bite a rat. But without success. In fact, when Typhus finally revealed his plans for a new plague to his colleagues at the St. Clough's Hospital for frostbite and other rare tropical diseases, everyone in the audience laughed at him. As a result, he toured with the speech around the clubs and was eventually signed up to celebrity squares, following his death in 1687. By now, Typhus and Bubo had opened up the floodgates. In the years that followed, the perfection of new and more virulent complaints advanced by leaps and bounds with the work of people like Louis Gangrene, Adam Scurvy, Sir Hubert Cholera, and Jan van der Measles. And in Rouen, however, two young French chemists, Armand and Gilbert Mump, were still struggling to find a disease of the neck. And in 1705, the Mump brothers were indeed on the verge of a breakthrough.
Good day, my brother. How is that experiment of yours into our disease's side effects coming along?
I'm not sure. But I think I could be until something.
Ah, let me see.
Oh, yes, I see what you mean.
We interrupt this program to apologize to those listeners who may have been fooled by the two earlier hoaxer announcements relating to a so-called Martian invasion of Earth. This entire piece of liistic spoofola is believed to have stemmed from highly dangerous radioactivity caused by Joe Kendall, Chris Emmett, Nigel Reese and Fred Harris leaking into the Earth's atmosphere. The exact source of the leak is still unconfirmed, but it's most likely to have originated from the former radio show The Berkey's Way, whose unstable material by Andrew Marshall and David Benwick is still being stored at Windscale, where it was dumped by producer David Hatch of the BBC Hatch shortly before his untimely death, in about 10 minutes from now. Our sincere apologies for all this. And now, back to The War of the Worlds. Here, apologies for all this. And now, back to The War of the Worlds.